Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 329, part 2, the conclusion to Rejoice, part 2. Today is Sunday, February 2nd, 2014.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
A friend of mine was told one time, and someone had prophesied over him, your name shall be stricken from the record. You will be never remembered by man again. It's like you never existed. I says, no, don't fear that, because they're so busy slandering you, fella, that everybody will know who you are. How many are hearing this? And maybe you're sitting with someone there next to your radio that is a total nerd. That wouldn't laugh, wouldn't shout, wouldn't leap, wouldn't do anything. That probably will find all kinds of things wrong with this message because they just don't want to rejoice. Well, don't have a stroke. Isn't there a lot of nerds around that wouldn't rejoice? I mean, you could tickle their feet with feathers. They wouldn't laugh if it killed them. I refuse to. Hey, put an ace bandage on your face. I think it's sprained. You mean when death calls? My dad rejoiced. Just put up his arms and seen something. They don't know exactly. I'm not going to get into any mystical things here, but he's praising the Lord. I live in the good life. And he just smiled and went someplace. I mean, left that room right then and there. Went to be with God right there. Praise of the Lord. I live the good life. And bang, he was gone. Whoa. Don't we all, the Bible say, live in earthly tabernacles? Actually, in the original Greek, it means tent. Even you out there that have millions and millions of dollars, you're a hobo here. compared to what's going to be like in heaven. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Through the fire, through the water, through life, through death, rejoice, it says, evermore. Well, someone called and they said, well, I fully understand, but clouds will come, won't they? Won't clouds come? They try to give you these questions, see? That's why the Word of God just says rejoice evermore. It doesn't get into a whole lot of detail. So you give people details and they try to find a loophole for not rejoicing. Well, I fully understand, he said, but won't clouds come my way? Well, yes, that's true. I said, that reminds me of a song. Into each life a little rain must fall, but too much is falling in yours. Huh? Is that what you're trying to say? No, don't make fun. I says, no, I'm rejoicing. I used to have that kind of a melancholy attitude, but it didn't do me no good. You remember that song, Heartaches, Heartaches? That's all I ever get is heartaches. How many have heard that song? When you turn it off, isn't it terrible? Heartaches, heartaches. That's all I ever get is heartaches. Ooh, what a downer. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody that refuses to laugh at you on the radio. Just give it up. I mean, hey. Pull a mirror out. That might do it. How about Old Lonesome Me? You ever heard that song? That sounds like a dog singing that song. Oh. How about Am I Blue? I was watching this nature show on TV the other day, and it had this bird. And just before mating, the whole upper part, the head and the top part of the feathers and body turned bright, vibrant blue. It reminded me of that song, Am I Blue? There's a lot of these bluebirds running around, isn't there? How about that one, I got tears in my ears from lying on my back crying my heart out for you? How about that? Some of them Western songs are so, ridiculous. Aren't they? Stop it. They must make those up while they're sitting in the bathtub or something. Some of these songs are just totally ridiculous. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a Western fan. I was country before country was. I'm not talking about it. Some of the lyrics are terrible. Let's face it, people. That's why people are so down. That's the songs they sing. Oh, the songs people sing now. Night and day now, huh? That's what it is. You turn the radio on, and they play these songs, and they like them downer songs. And if you want to hear some real downer songs, there's a lot of Westerns that are downer songs, aren't they? Ruby and all these rest of these people that went off someplace. God knows where they went. Oh, Christians, spread your love around. I see you on the radio, smile. Crack a smile. That's why they say crack a smile. How do you get people rejoicing? By going to work. Even the dwarfs know that. Whistle while you work. Oh, I know, there's people out there. I'll get letters. It wasn't very scriptural. This is all scripture. Nobody heard that song? Maybe some other old geezers out there are listening on the radio. See, I ain't got a whole lot of time. I'm trying to make people to realize they have to rejoice. I might drop dead anytime. That might cause some rejoicing, I don't know. Are you hearing this? Huh? Or maybe I could say, you know, if I was as beautiful as this girl sitting over here, no, you, honey, you, I would have something to rejoice about. I'd have something to rejoice about if I look like you. Oh, God, you've been so great to me. You changed my face. Huh? People think that if God would only change their face, they would rejoice. Huh? Or if I was as good looking as this guy here, I could rejoice. Huh? Right. You know how many people rejoice to have a face like yours? A lot of them. Now I know what you're thinking. Stop it right now. My mother said, when she tried to pair me up with somebody, she'd say, "Hasn't that girl got a lovely forehead?" I said, "Yeah, Mom, that's about the best looking forehead I ever seen in my whole life. It's great." Hey, you can find something to rejoice about, right? Oh, my goodness. Sorry, all these songs, these excuses I've given you aren't good enough. They'll never be accepted because he says, rejoice always, and that means evermore. But I'm down. How does a person rejoice when they're just totally down? I'm depressed. And now they're shining lights on people. I seen on TV, they said, they're finding, and they're spending millions of dollars on this. They want to find out why in the middle of winter that people are depressed. So they had this big study somewhere in Baltimore, Maryland, or something like that. They put a big grant out there. And it shows these people going into a room, because it's dark outside and the clouds are on. And they put them in a room, then they turn all these lights on them. And it showed them walking around there like a bunch of, chickens at the fertilizer plant walking around. No, it's the light on the inside. You can put all the flashlights. You can shine people right in the face with a great big spotlight. See? That won't make them happy. Huh? You think that makes people happy? Turn the lights out. They don't want people to see their pimples and stuff. Hey, there's a lot of truth in what I'm speaking here today. Did you know that? A lot of. Oh, this make me happy. I don't want to go under those lights. I can tell you what will make you happy. Follow after the Word of God. Get saved and then follow. Stand in awe of the Word of God as God gives you victory after victory as you just stand there and you say, "Lord, I'm going to believe in your Word." Well, yeah, the guy said, "But I've lost my joy. I always had joy. I was a happy person all my life. My mom said that," this is the guy talking to me now, "and my mom said that she'd come in and there, I'd be there smiling in my crib. I was happy all the way through school and everything, but I lost it. I lost all my joy. It's been tough." Here's a few mentals that call me every day. I said, "Nope, it ain't going to work." "Why?" I said, "Because you're supposed to rejoice evermore. That's what the Word of God says." Doesn't the Bible say put on your rejoicing mantle? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness. Garment of praise. That's the Lord. Huh? Isn't there, maybe I got a garment here. Let me put one of them on. Here's one. Huh? Just pretend like when you get up in the morning, when you're putting on your clothes, pretend like you're putting on your garments of praise. It'll start all kind of light, you know. You put your socks on, just a little giggle at first. Put on the other sock. Put on your pants. Put on the garments, the praise. That's the garments. And you get fully clothed. By the time you get your coat on, you'll be roaring with laughter. It's a garment of praise. Just pretend. Say, I'm going to put on these socks. Well, praise God for them. Praise the Lord. Socks. No holes in them. No holes in these socks. Whoops, spoke too soon. Oh, well, praise God anyway. Put on the rest of your clothes before you even get your clothes on. Start singing in the shower. Huh? I believe everybody should sing in the shower. Most people should not sing when they come out, but sing in the shower. And by the time you get your clothes on, folks, and the time you leave that house practicing just a simple, simple message like I'm giving you right now, you'll have the garments of praise on. Doesn't have to be fur coats and everything like that either. It's a garment of praise. Garments of praise. Hallelujah. Huh? Now look at the clothes I'm wearing. Would you be praising God if you had to wear these? They're clothes. They're clothes. Don't gripe about it. Come on down to Disciples Ministry. We'll give you a brand new wardrobe. Bag a day. 365 bags a year. Fill up your aunt's garage. Right? People call me and say, don't give my wife any more clothes. We have no room to even get on. We can't even sleep anymore. The clothes are piled on the bed. They're all over. Garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Put on Jesus Christ. Put on that mantle. Well, the guy says, I do not interpret the Bible, the Word of God, like you do. Why not? I said, would you be happy if... someone's knocking at the door. Yeah, I can hear. You're knocking at the door. Hi, I'm Ed McMahon. You have just won 10, count them now, 10 big ones, $10 million. Would you rejoice? Would you? You would just rejoice. You'd say, the money wouldn't be there. Ed's no dummy. He wouldn't carry $10 million down on the north side. Hey, get it. Or any place as far as that goes. You'd believe it. You'd believe it by a piece of paper. Why can't we believe the Word of God when it's written on paper? Heaven and earth shall pass away, Ed McMahon, and here comes Johnny will pass away. But my words will never pass away. I can't rejoice in that. I mean, really, do you believe the Bible? Do you? Well, then rejoice evermore. There it is. Rejoice evermore. Instead of singing that song, give me a reason for living. I could think of several reasons why you shouldn't be, but I mean... Folks, if you believe the Word of God, you just simply say, wow! Why can't we have that same feel? Here comes Jesus Christ. Here comes the Word of God. Yay! And then gets up there and... Huh? Did you ever fantasize about getting $1 million? I give that $1 million. I give it all to God. And gradually it's half, and then, well, 10%. Ooh. No, why not? Because I'll tell you, you have to because it's a command. It's something that you can't dissect. It's something that you can't microscopalize. Is that a word? You can't. See, it's something on the inside. You can't. Let's see. Rejoicing. See. Rejoice evermore. You can't figure it out. It's something on the inside. Either you have it by faith or you don't have it. Well, how do we get it? By faith. By believing you do. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that you can rejoice? I do. Well, a lot of people believe they can gripe. Believe you me, they can. Are you hearing this? See, this is pretty simple, but I'll tell you what, if we would just follow that simple principle of faith, it would work for everyone that believes. How are you saved? By believing. How are you made happy? By believing. And then some are so pious, some are so religious, they are afraid to rejoice. And I think a lot of religion, you know, folks, has had the gray sickness of self-thought. A priest in Chicago, I seen on TV, this is on Channel 3, said, well, Jesus was just a Jewish scholar and so on like that. And I mean, do you want to believe a Jewish man? And this was a priest. And he says, nowhere does he say this, that he is, the Son of God. And the scripture came to me, Peter, who do they say that I am? Well, some say this and some say that. Well, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ. My whole body became tingly. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they had a Bible scholar come up there that really knew it. And he said, and a guy called up and he said, well, on one hand, you're not scientific enough. And the guy says, let me put it to you this way. Your words and your throat will turn to ashes and dust and be blown away if you don't want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing all that you know right now. You'll be held accountable. That's all I have to say to you. And the guy, then the commentator says, gee, that doesn't sound very like you had a lot of mercy in it. He says, oh yeah, there was a lot of mercy in it. Just telling him the way it is. Knowing all you know, and you won't accept Jesus Christ after all your studies. See? Knowing that. See, the sin, the unpardonable sin, is not receiving the Lord. The unpardonable sin is not receiving pardon when you know it's there for you. Simple, isn't it? Isn't that something to rejoice in? I'm rejoicing that I'm so simple. Right, simps? Right? I mean, aren't you glad you're not too educated to receive the simple Word of God and the simple truth contained therein, and you don't have to get real legal about it? And some think it's a sacred duty to be gloomy. Ask me how it's going, someone asked me. Just ask me how's it going. I double dare you. And he had something, I forget what he said. He had a whole bunch of reasons. Does a worm in the desert, are they happy? Is it a Raggedy Ann doll thrown out in the rain and the mud puddle out there? Is she happy? Can I be happy? I'm a pastor. I'm abused, misused, talked about, cast aside. Can I be happy? Well, I said, it's entirely up to you. I can't make you happy. But I can give you the Word of God, and if you'll stand in awe of the Word of God, you'll be happy. I said, maybe you're one like believes in the holiness of discontentedness. The sanctity of pining away. Maybe you're one that recoils, runs, splits, dashes, climbs walls, breaks all the existing sound barriers, getting away from grateful joy. Why are you running so hard? Don't treat it, I said, like it's the devil in disguise. Some people just don't want to have joy. They think, oh, that's not sanctimonious enough. Well, I think the commandments of such saints, and there's a lot of them right now today, their commandments probably read like this. Don't laugh, just sort of chant in the caves of the Himalayan mountains. Draw your shades every Sunday. Never smile during a sermon. Do you know there are people that will not smile during a sermon? They won't. You know why? Because they're so miserable they have to be in church. I've seen kids and their folks make them come to church and they're just sitting there. They could have been watching Mighty Mouse or somebody on TV. One time I had a girl like that. It was in the suburbs. And every Sunday she'd come and she just had that gloom of discontent on her face. I mean, and I said, you know, honey, I says, what right do we have to spread our gloom on everybody? I mean, do you really think you have the right to spread your gloom on everybody, dear? And she thought about that. In fact, she thought about it so hard she quit coming to church for about 2 months. When she come back, she was a different person. Whew. Well, you know, you're the receiver of everything you give out. What you give, you get back, pushed down, packed together, and running over. Shall men give you into your bosom? Oh. Don't rest. Don't allow others to have any kind of peace or joy. Is that your doctrine? Some people make such an impression about life that they make people think it's an awful thing to go on living. It could be, and I started thinking about this, knowing God, that Jerry Lee Lewis and Mickey Gilley will be sitting at the head of the table before a whole lot of us sanctimonious ones are. Could be. Those that think they're going to be first will be last, and those that think they're going to be last will be first. Could be that Gary Hart, well, let's name off a few, Jim and Tammy Baker. See, when people really get wounded, they really get close to God. When they're down there, bah, bah, and they learn things about God they never would have learned before. Bah, huh? Yeah, bah, and the makeup is running and all of that, and God sees through all that, right? Isn't that right? God sees through it all. I mean, people get on people for, you shouldn't wear, hey, I think women need makeup. Put it on. Men are natural beauties, of course, but just kidding. Huh? Do you think God sees them? When nobody's around and they're in the barbs and they're crying out and their heart is really right. I mean, it's so right, our hearts probably never be as right as their hearts are for really receiving God. They'll never be that tender. Do you want to think they went through a meat tenderizing machine? Our hearts will probably never ever be that tender as theirs are. And they have struck chords with God like we never could have. Do you believe that? I do. I do believe it. Look at Moses. Look at David. Look at Samson. Look at all of the characters all the way through the Word of God. All the judging away. these people's hearts are so tender towards God right now. Their hearts are crying. So we don't know our own hearts. The hearts are crying out. Ooh. I wouldn't want to be judging one of those little sheep. We'll stay away from that judging of those little sheep. Ooh. Ooh. Besides that, you lose all your joy when you do that. And sometimes I think that people are ruined because they thought it was wicked to be glad. Did you know that? They thought it was wicked to be glad. You never laugh in church. It used to be worse. Huh? Are you hearing this? Seems like when people are instantaneously saved and fully know it, it irritates people. They say, well, you're taking too much for granted. You're too presumptuous. And it actually pains some people to see people instantaneously saved and full of the joy of God. Actually makes them angry. Now, what right do you have to rejoice in the Lord? You've only been saved like 5 minutes. Now, come on. You don't even know what you're laughing about. Do you have to know what you're laughing about? Have you ever laughed and someone says, and then you told them what was funny and they didn't think it was funny at all? That happens to me all the time. Can you share your joy a lot of times with some people? You can't share things with people. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. But you know, God will give you insights. And when someone else is happy, if you want to take on their joy, if you really believe it, and they're laughing, having a good time, if you just sort of, I like to kind of bump up against them in faith. Boing! Boing! And I believe that. I'll get some of their joy. I don't have to know exactly why they're laughing. I just share in their joy. Well, what's so funny? What are you laughing about? Don't we worry about people? Well, we get all nervous because we're not in on it. What are they laughing about? What's so funny? My shoes on backwards or what? Huh? Do we have to know all the time? Look, they're having a good time over there. Praise God. They're laughing. I can laugh at people laughing. Don't you laugh at people the way they laugh? You laugh at your kids. Why? Because you love your kids. And the little kid laughs. They go, and they just get so tickled and they laugh. And laugh. Doesn't that tickle you? They should be sleeping. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. They're having a pajama party or something like that. Huh? And they're in there laughing. Shouldn't we get into that more? Just sharing the joy with people? Huh? Just get that joy and start... Here's Bill now. He's falling down laughing. What's he laughing about? I don't know, but it's sure it's sure contagious. I don't care what he's laughing about. I'm going to close, but before I leave here, you're not going to leave here until you're all falling down laughing, dying, huh? I laughed so hard I thought I'd die. That kind of laugh. I have seen people actually shake their heads when someone's having a good time and they're laughing. They should be shaking their heads at themselves, saying, why was I born this way? Can it be so wrong to obey the Holy Spirit, rejoice evermore? Doesn't cost anything. Doesn't put restrictions on happiness. Doesn't command you to be miserable. Doesn't say groan and moan in the Lord. And again, I say groan and moan. But, I mean, for you legalists out there, groan if you must. Lord, deliver people from the evil influence of doubting God's total love. Do you think there's anybody that God can't love? Nobody! He can love anybody, anytime. Because he is love. Well, you say, I'm just saved. Listen, you have the right to partake of all of God's grace you need right now. Jesus says, come, eat and drink abundantly. Don't think it's a sin, I'll close with this, to rejoice. It's a command. To not obey is sin. To know to do good and do it not, therein lies the evil, therein lies the sin. You ready? Rejoice. Next time you meet someone that's rejoicing, don't get disgusted. Rejoice. Don't worry about being too presumptuous. Start rejoicing right now. Is there any good reason why you can't start rejoicing right now? And let me add, don't let it be a fanatical joy. I've been in churches where they get into a fanatical thing. And they work themselves up into a great big lather. Shake and roll on the floor and scream. Some, I think, they're in such a state of mind, they say amen and hallelujah before they hear the full report. Huh? I've had people that, before I could get one word out, amen, 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 amen. Hey. I had to turn one guy off. I said, I went downtown the other day, amen, brother. And I got off the bus, amen. And I met this person, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Strictly for the show of everybody else. And in my very loving way, I said, sir, would you mind shutting up and saying amen after maybe a paragraph or two? Because I really can't keep my mind on what I'm preaching if you say amen. And I says, nowhere in the Word of God do they say amen after each word. And as I read the Word of God, I have to read it. And then when we get all done, you say hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. And in fact, if you have to say it, go outside and say a million amens out there and then come in when you're all done. But don't interrupt and interject just so that your flesh can be seen of people and you call that rejoice. Boy, isn't he a religious person? Look, did you notice all the amens he came up with? I've never seen a man come up with that many amens and hallelujahs in my life. And people are too scared to say anything about it. Actually, that's the truth, preachers. I've been in meetings with you. I've heard you. You get so irritated, somebody gets up in the middle of a message, goes to the toilet all the time, and you won't tell the people. Right? Well, then tell them. Then you won't have to just be waiting for them to make their move. Make your move. Make my day. Right? It's true, isn't it, Ron? I just love Ron when he comes to church because he sponges it in, he takes it all, and it's realistic to him. Yeah. Did you get anything out of this message at all? Well, let me close it. Praise the Lord. I heard a praise the Lord. Joy is... Praise God for you people that are rejoicers. Praise God that you encourage the weak. I remember, and I'll just close with this, years ago, we used to catch pigeons. How many here ever caught pigeons when they were a kid? Huh? Only four or five? Put your hands up. You ever tried to catch a pigeon? Anyway, you take these crates, they don't have any more nowadays. Well, I guess they do have them, but you put a stick on there, and you put a string on it, and you set it up so it's just a little pull of the string, see? And you get all the gravel out of the way, see? And you get it all ready to go. And then the pigeons, you know, they come pecking around. And the guy came up to me and he said, you want to catch pigeons? Put perfume on their wings, your trained ones. Then the other pigeons will follow them back. You know what? It works. It's the same way with us. If we have the perfume of the Holy Spirit on us, And we just be ourselves. The worst thing, the worst fear I have in ministering is becoming sanctimonious and pious and being somebody other than what God has created me to be. You know what I mean? Saying God instead of God. You know what I mean? And just having the perfect stance and the perfect walk, the religious peacock walk or whatever, whatever it is. That's not me. I mean, you know, and folks, you listening on the radio, if you can find fault with me on that, well then, hey, God is going to have to deal with you. Hey. Right? Right?
Amen.
Yeah, people are people. Aren't they? Sometimes you wish they weren't, but hey. Sometimes you wish you were like our dog. So we could, come on, Shep, come over here. A few pats and a wag of the tail and away they go, you know. You're not like that. Pour a little perfume in your life. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know Him.
There you have it. That was episode 329. That was part two of Rejoice Part 2. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message, character building. Have a great week, and God bless you.
I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. And the tears in my ears are off the beaten track since you said it's goodbye, we are through. So if I should get water on the brain, you will know you're the one who is to blame. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. I've been crying these tears and soaking in my sack since the day I found you were untrue. And if I don't get up pretty soon, I'll turn into a sleepy lagoon. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. Tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you. It's been so many years, my sacroiliac feels as though it's been soaked through and through. Oh, you lied when you said we'd take the plunge. Now I know how it feels to be a sponge. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back in my bed while I cry over you.